We are happy you tuned in to us this Sunday afternoon for Take Time for Jesus. We would like to thank those who have helped us with the financial blessing. And at the end of this broadcast, we will give you our email address where you can email us or the P.O. box so you can write us. God bless you. Here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Good afternoon. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in to Take Time for Jesus with us. We just thank God today that we're able once again to come to you by the way of radio into your homes or by the computer, whichever way that you are receiving us. We just thank God for his blessings and that he's enabled us to be here once again. And we just praise him for his love and his way that he has blessed us in the days past and the promise of that he has got in store for us of them that love the Lord. And I appreciate him today and appreciate you tuning in to us. And we just hope that we may be able to say something on the behalf of God that may touch your life in a way that you can receive the goodness and the blessings of our Lord. We just appreciate him and we thank him because he's done so much for us. I believe in way back in years back that Polycarp was one of the apostles there along, well, not apostle, but he was one of God's people. And they gave him a choice to either deny God or they was going to kill him. He said of all these 80-some-odd years that he had served him, that he'd never done him any wrong, he said, so why should I turn against him now? And they burned him alive. My friend today, have you got that testimony to leave that people may know that who you serve and that you know whom your Redeemer is? Or have you got a shallow experience that we're in when the tribulation comes and your trials comes upon you and you're given a choice to deny God or your life be taken from you or you can live, whichever the case? My friend, is your faith in him strong enough to receive that which is promised unto us? Even though yet we be dead, shall we live? But we know that Christ in us, the hope of glory, that if we will accept him as our Savior, he has promised us eternal life. Though you may be persecuted to death, or maybe you just lay down and go to sleep, whatever the case may be, the promise is unto them that love the Lord will receive a crown of righteousness and a crown of life. So I just praise God today to know that the promises that he has made unto us is still just as valid as the day that they were wrote in the book. I believe that with all of my heart. So hold fast. Stand for the truth. Shun the evil appearance of the evil days that we're living in, because, my friend, we truly living in perilous times. All the things that are happening around and about us that we see here in the news and everything, people going in and killing groups of people in various different places, and all these things are happening. My friend, it could be that the church will be suffering more and more as we go along. It says a lot of those people may not have been Christians. I don't know. That's not for me to say. But I believe that if we hold fast to the teachings and the doctrines of our Lord Jesus Christ, somewhere down the line you may have to give an answer. And he said that when they call you up before the courts or the man or someone there to give an answer, then don't take no heed or thought of what you're going to say, but it'll be given unto you in the hour that you need it, but it be not you speaking, but the Holy Ghost speaking through you. So if you've been born again and received God in your life and got the Holy Ghost, then, my friend, allow him, the Spirit of God, to work in your life, and he will bring your life into the place of where he would have you to be. So as we go to prayer at this time, you pray one for another, and God will help us with fully understanding to know that he is God, and besides him there is no other. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for that price that you paid there on Calvary when you sacrificed your only begotten to bring forth salvation unto them that would believe and trust in you. We thank you for that sacrifice that you made, for that precious blood of Jesus that paid our sin debt on a debt that we owed and couldn't pay. Lord, I appreciate it, and I thank you today for your love and kindness and for the mercy that you've shown unto us. By the way that you have blessed us in the past, looking forward unto thee as being the author and the finisher of our faith, we give you praise and honor. So we pray, God, that you would touch the ears of those that listen and those that have come forth. We pray that you would bless them. Those that have helped us financially, we pray, God, a rich blessing upon them, that you would take care of all their needs. And as time comes, Lord, that you would help us to win souls. It's not in the silver and the gold that we're after of the material things of this life, but we're after winning souls for the kingdom of God and for thy name's sake. So we just praise you and we thank you for the opportunity once again to come by the into their homes by the way of radio. We just pray, God, that you would bless and anoint the lips of clay to bring forth that which you've laid on my heart, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for all things which will be accomplished in thy holy name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I believe my wife's got something over here for you, so we're going to let her have a few minutes there to whatever God's put on her heart. So here's my wife, Sister Sarah.
Well, I just praise the Lord again for this opportunity that we have to be able to share God's word with you. Our desire is that we can reach this lost and dying world. America is going downhill. And I know that probably the day will come whenever they persecute us for telling it the way it is, the way God gives it to us. I know, you know, you won't be very popular if you stand against sin. But that's what we're going to do today. We're going to try to bring forth a message that'll let people know exactly where we are, in prophecy. Many, you'll hear a lot of prophecy on radio, television, and wherever. But if it doesn't line up with Genesis to Revelations, it's false prophecy. But I just want to share with you this afternoon from the Daily Bread. And I've said before, if you'd like to have a daily bread, you just call me or let me know. Or if there's anything that we read here, or if you want a copy of a tape or anything, you can get it off the internet. You can listen to us on our archives, which they'll give you the address at the end of the broadcast. But we'll be glad to do whatever we can for you. But this is called Turnaround, and it's from the Daily Bread. Bill was a friend of mine in seminary who had come to Christ out of a blatantly Hallelujah. Sinful lifestyle. Hallelujah, he described Praise it this Lord way. I was driving down the street drinking a bottle of brandy with another man's wife at my side when I saw some Christians on the sidewalk witnessing to passersby about Christ. I drove by and shouted, "Fools!" But only a few weeks later, I found myself kneeling in a church and asking Christ to become my Savior and Lord. Bill's conversion resulted in his giving up his old ways and experiencing a new life in Christ. It was a life-changing turnaround. True repentance, which is initiated by the Holy Ghost, includes a real turnaround. Often we see that the greater the opposition to the gospel prior to conversion, the more stunning the change of direction afterwards. When Saul of Tarsus encountered Christ on the road to Damascus, he was changed from a persecutor to a preacher of the gospel. Of this, many observed in Galatians 1 and 23, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Authentic conversion includes repentance, which is a change of mind and a direction. For the follower of Christ, repentance means to keep turning away from sin and turning toward Christ in obedience. No man is so low or so pressed down by natural hindrances as to prevent his taking the highest place in the kingdom of Christ. Yet let the young, let the lowly, let even the illiterate know that the Holy Ghost is willing to choose them as vessels of his grace and able to train them for the highest spiritual culture and the most honored service for our blessed Master. The church, which is not a building, but is the hearts of man, it exists for the divine purpose and promise of producing conversions. And that's why we're here this afternoon. We're trying to preach a message that will get your heart converted to be able to meet us all in the eternity with the Lord. Let us not be ashamed to confess our sins and feebleness and cry to God for more conversions in all land. Plead for the salvation of sinners everywhere, including those whom you know and love. The Bible says that a man in his own country is without honor. And so if we can in any way speak to your family, your friends, your loved ones, that is our goal. We are here to reach the lost at any cost. Repentance is being so sorry for sin that you're willing to give it up. No matter what it is, anything you're doing that's contrary to the Bible is sin. And God will not tolerate sin, no matter what it is. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. God once winked at ignorance, but now he called all men everywhere to repent. My wife made mention about Paul's conversion, which was on my heart. Paul was a man that he thought he was okay. He was taught at some of the smartest schools there was in that time. He learned about the laws of the Moses and everything at the feet of Cornelius, and them was wise people in their own way back in those days. Some people now think that a higher education is going to solve all of our problems, but if they leave God out of their life and everything, they just add to the problems, my friend. Smarter men than some of them that have come along here has come short on the glory of God. Some of them smarter than I am. Some of them went to seminar schools and all these here things. I haven't been to one, but I'm like Paul. Paul knew everything about the law, but he thought that he was doing right when he went out to persecute the church of God, which was all around at that time, the apostles that preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul wanted to put an end to that man called Jesus, and anybody that stood for his name or that stood for his teachings. So he went about to bring into there. He even helped, they minded the clothes there while they stoned Stephen's calling upon the name of the Lord. My friend, there's people in this world today that would argue with you about who God is and why and what and these things, but take heed, don't argue with the fool, because you become a fool yourself. When a man wants to argue about the scriptures and you know what the scripture says, just leave him alone, let him go his own way, and hope that maybe someday he'll realize that what he's believing and what he's thinking, that he might change his heart. Paul was a man that thought that he had it all together. He was on the way to Damascus, a place where there was a location, there were some saints there, believed upon and calling upon the name of the Lord. He went to the high priest. Now, mind you that Jesus did not go into the synagogues or in the place where the high priest was sitting to draw his disciples. He went out on the shores of Galilee and chose the fishermen. He even chose one man that most people hate. Even today, they don't like the tax collectors, but he even chose one of them. But Paul was a man that went and sought from the high ups in the synagogues papers of authority that he could go into Damascus, and if he found any that were taught and teaching and believing and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and he could bind them and bring them bound and have them thrown in jail and whatever else they might have been taking pleasure to do to them. But I want you to know that there is a time in a man's life that he's going to have the opportunity at least once to come to face to face with reality in God's business. It may be a short impulse. It may be a longer one. It may be in some glorious way. And then again, it may be in some tragedy. I don't know. It depends on how God, what God has to do to get your attention, just if it's not, but just for a few minutes. But as Paul was on the road to Damascus, he come in contact with the Lord on the road. His father, people was with him there. And when he seen this great light above, the brighter than the noonday sun, the scripture said he fell to the earth. Some people said he fell off a horse. The Bible didn't say he fell off a horse. He might have, he was just walking along there, I suppose. But anyway, he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice said, "Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me?" And he said, "Lord, who art thou?" And he said, "I am Jesus of whom thou persecutest." It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you, Paul, to fight against something that you don't know about. It's going to be harder for you to keep on going your way. So Paul went and said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Have you asked the Lord today, "God, what would you have me to do for your name's sake and for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God?" Or is it that, "Lord, help me. Lord, give me this and give me that. Help me on my job. Help me to do this." But these things would come to us if we seek first the kingdom of God. God gave you that job you got. He gave you the strength to rise and go to it. But some people think that they got to have 6.5 days a week to sleep and rest. The other half, they give him a few minutes on Wednesday and a few minutes on Sunday morning. But the rest of the time, they want it all to themselves to do what they want to do. God's getting tired of the church because it's came to the place of where we've left our first love. You didn't lose it. You lose something, you just don't know what happened to it. But we've left the first love, and we've chose to go into the world and seek after everything the world has to offer. Paul was doing that. He was a wealthy man. He was an educated man. He knew all that had to be known back in those days. He was a smart man. But he knowed nothing of the blessings of God until God met him on the road to Damascus. And when it was over and done, the light was lifted up, no doubt. The other men that was with him, they heard the voice, but they didn't see no man. But when Paul got up off of the dirt, as you and I need to get up off of the dirt and shake the dust of this world off of us and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus, he got up and he couldn't see. A lot of people in the roundabout can't see that the glory of God came forth into Paul, and he said that it blinded him. He had to come face to face with the God that created him and made him and separated him from his mother's womb. He had to come face to face, and that contact he had blinded him to the where he couldn't see. They led him by the hand to Damascus. After God had told him, he said, "You go on into Damascus by the way called straight." He had already had Ananias tuned in over there, but Ananias was like some of the preachers today. They don't want to go out of their way And he wanted to argue with God. Well, I heard about this man. I heard that how evil he is and how he persecuted the church. So now just leave him blind, then he can't hurt us. But God told him, he said, you go on, Ananias. You go over there and pray for him because he prays. Saul was a man of the world, but he went to Damascus, and there he was there 3 days blinded, never eat nor drank. But when Ananias came to him and he said, Brother Saul, I've come because the Lord had told me to come. But I want you to know that when Ananias prayed for him, the scales fell from his eyes, and he still was not fully, completely converted. But he said, arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord. Saul received God as his Savior, received the Spirit of God. Now, he didn't go back over there to the synagogues and learn to what they would have to say, because he already knew how they felt. A lot of people go into churches today that won't teach the true gospel. They'll teach other things, and other things that they want you to hear, tickle your ears with a fair speech and a smooth tongue, and they want you to know that that what they want you to hear. That's the way the Pharisees and them was. You don't pay no attention to what really, you just go by what we say. As some of the denominations today, they won't teach you the true word of God. My friend, today, anything that is subtracted from God's word is going to be totally lost. You can't take away or add to. He said, if you do, it'll be taken out of the Lamb's book of life, the book of life for you, or it'll be added unto your persecution or your troubles at the end. So take the word of God as its face value, because that's what Paul done. But after he received his sight, he didn't go back to Jerusalem or someplace to learn about this man called Jesus. He was out into the wilderness. 3 years he was out there seeking after the truth. He was taught there by the Holy Ghost, and he received everything that God had for him. He believed, and he came to the places where he said, I am not ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's power unto salvation unto me. My friend, can you say today that you would stand up and tell the world that you're not ashamed of this gospel? Are you going to tuck your head like a oyster does and tuck his head in the sand and think he's hid when his whole body was sticking up? According to what funny papers say, I don't know if they really do that or not. I've seen some in the zoos, but I ain't never seen him stick his head in the sand and think he was hid. But if that be the case, with his body standing up there, then he's exposed himself to whatever's coming after him and going to get him. The devil is out as a roaring lion today, seeking that he can devour. The only hope that we have is in the name of Jesus, whereby the scripture teaches that the name of the Lord is a strong tower to where the righteous can go into and saved. My friend, today, if you're not hid in Christ Jesus, then you're exposed to all the things that the devil can jump on you with. We need to be firmly stand upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hid in that strong tower, that name. We need to take it on in baptism. We need to take it on and allow the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to dwell in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Without these things, you're exposed to the things of the world and the sin thereof. He's the only one that can save you. Some people says that, well, the Bible says you believe in God and you shall be saved. I know the scripture says that, but do you really believe? The devil believes also and trembles. What's your excuse? You say, I believe in God, but you go on and doing everything that the world has to offer. You get entangled with everything that's going on in life, and you don't even, sometimes some of you won't even go to the house of God to pray. Some of you just go down the road and just a nonchalant thing, and you got your spare tire in the trunk and your four tires are going, one of them goes flat, and a lot of you come out to get your spare tire and find that it's flat. Why? Because you didn't have sense enough to go out there and put air in it every once in a while to check it out. That's the way people are about God. They don't have the audacity in them that they would come and pray and seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But they want God to be on the scene if anything happens. And some of them will say, well, if there's a God, why has he let all these bad things happen? Because the devil is out as a roaring lion, my friend, seeking that he may devour. He's after to kill and to steal. Jesus came to say that I came to give you life and give you life more abundantly, but you refuse to go his way. So the devil has got mostly control over you, but yet and still that God's merciful. He can only do what he allows him to do, but he does these things in hope that you will turn your ways to him. Turn unto the Lord. Paul.
AM 1110, WTIS, Tampa. Inspiring radio for over 35 years. WTIS, Tampa's inspiration station.
Paul thought he had it made. He was obeying whatever the law was. He wasn't concerned about this. The high priest and all of them was probably patting him on the back and said, you're doing a good thing, because they called Jesus a babbler. He called him all kinds of things. They didn't like it because he came and told them the truth. He called them a bunch of vipers, a bunch of snakes, in other words, as John told him there when he came to baptize the forerunner of Jesus Christ to break away the path, and said that there had one come after him, that he was not worthy to loose his shoes, that would baptize him with the Holy Ghost. These Pharisees and things didn't want that. Some of them believed in the resurrection, and some of them didn't. Some of them believed in whatever they wanted to believe in, but they was patting Paul on the back because he was with them. But when he got out of tune with them and he got fully converted on the road to Damascus and he went out and he began to preach this gospel of Jesus Christ, they sought after to kill him. They sought after to take his life, to put him in prison, to whatever. And he suffered many things that Jesus told Ananias. He said, you go on and pray for him. He said, he's a chosen vessel unto me, for I will show him many things, and he will suffer for my sake. I'm going to send him to the Gentiles. And Paul was commissioned by God to bring this gospel unto you and I. Peter had to open the door because he was given the keys. But when there in people there in Cornelius' house seen an angel, he told him to send to Joppa where Peter was. Peter had to come and tell him about what he needed to do. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, fell upon them. And Peter said, see, here can water be forbidden unto them that have received the Holy Ghost the same as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, today there's only one way into the kingdom of God. There's only one door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Father is the Spirit. Jesus came and put a face on him. When God was manifested in the flesh, he put a face on God. Yet and still, when God said he created man in his own image, look at yourself. You'll see an image there. You'll see yourself in the mirror, but you 9 times out of 10, you'll turn around and walk off and forget what you've seen. But God was created man in his own image. He had an image. He still got an image. He ain't changed. But my friend, he wants to change you from mortal to immortality, from corruption to incorruption. He wants to bring you into the faith to wherein that you can have that stand for him, that you be counted worthy to enter into the place that he said, I'll go and prepare. Paul went and preached. All of them people there that patted him on the back and sanctioned him and give him papers to go at all, when they found out that he preached the gospel, they was against him. They throwed him in jail. They persecuted him. They stoned him. He was shipwrecked. and many things that Paul suffered for this gospel. The Lord said he would suffer for him, and he did. He persecuted the people of God, and these people today that is going around persecuting Christian people and everything, you think that God's going to let them just slide on by? I doubt it. I doubt it very seriously. One day they're going to give an account. And one day they're going to hear that final saying, "Depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you." Oh, there's going to be some that said, "Lord, according to the scripture, Lord, we done these things in your name. We healed the sick, and we done this, and we done that." And they hear him say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." But yet and still, some will say, "Well, there's going to be some that's going to come." Honey, there's only one way into the kingdom of God, and that's through the door. Broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leads to eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Many walk on the road to destruction. Hell has enlarged itself to accommodate them that wants to go there, but narrow is the way, and few that find it. Yet the scripture teaches that this way is so plain, and even a wayfaring man, though fools, wouldn't err there in it. But you got these educated people coming around and telling people that you don't need to do this, you don't need to do that, you just do like I tell you to. Honey, read your Bible. Let me encourage you to read your Bible. Do what the Bible says to do. Repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You won't go wrong. I don't need to tell you what it says if you read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. I heard a story one time where there was a pastor that come into the church, and when he come there, the man had a full Bible. This man got up there and said, "You don't need this and you don't need that, because you don't need it. We're living now in a different time. You don't need this part and don't need it." And every time the man had told him he didn't need that, he'd tear that part out. So the man got on his deathbed, and the pastor went to see him. And he asked him, he said, "Do you have a Bible?" He said, "Yeah." So he handed the Bible, and he said, "My Lord, man, what happened to it?" He said, "Well, when you came here, I had a whole Bible." He said, "But every time you'd say that we didn't need this part and didn't need that," he said, "I tore it out." See, he only had a few pages left in it. He said, "And if I live long enough, I probably won't even have that left." Now, you tell me that we need to listen to every man that comes around with a Bible in his arms. You need to read for yourself. You read for yourself and you'll know what the scripture says. You don't have to go. It's good to have a preacher if he will preach the gospel. But if he comes and sugarcoats it, tickles your ears with a fair speech and a smooth tongue, and don't tell you sin will get you cast into hell, and don't give you the right concept of what the Bible says, you need to find another place to go, my friend. All of you's not going to agree with me. They all didn't agree with Jesus, and they crucified him. So what makes you think that I might think that everybody's going to agree with me? But some people wants everybody to agree with everything they say or do. It don't work that way, my friend. I agree with what the Word of God says, and if he is in agreement with the Word of God, I can agree with him. But when he gets out of the Word of God and goes to bring in something else, I cannot agree with it if it don't, the Word of God don't back up his actions of what he says or does. If it's in the Bible and he can prove it by the Bible, then I can agree with him. How can two walk together unless they agree? My friend, we need to agree with the Word of God. Walk with him, not by sight, but by faith. We need to endure all things for his name's sake. As he endured the cross for yours and my salvation, took upon him yours and my sins, nailing them to the cross. And he explained all this to Paul, and Paul made it very clear as to the price that was paid for you and I. that he brought out the reality to what Jesus done on the cross. He brought it unto the Gentiles because he was a chosen vessel to bring this gospel unto the Gentiles. He had to go to the Jew first. But after they refused him, he said, I'll go to the Gentiles. Paul was a man that loved God. He was one that learned the hard way, you might say. He learned on the road to Damascus, but he was taught by the Spirit of God in the wilderness that to who he was, what he was, and to what he could be with a man that would allow him to use him for his name's sake. Paul was a man that was hard after God. He went the way that God would have him to go. He sought after him wholeheartedly. Many people today, they'll go through the motion, and they'll come along with the sayings of what somebody else said, but when they read the scriptures, they find out that it's not true, then they get all hopped up and they want to go out and do something they shouldn't do. My friend, the scripture can't be changed. It's all wrote, you might say, in concrete. You can't change it, I can't change it, and I'm not seeking to change it. It's what it is and what it says, it's the way it's going to be. When Paul came to there to break bread on the first day of the week, he preached to him. He said there, and he said on the 20th chapter and the 7th verse, he said, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where there was gathered together. And there was a window, a certain young man named being fall into a deep sleep. And as Paul was preaching long, he slunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. In the end of it, the man was brought and brought alive there. In the 11th verse, he said, when he also was come up again, and he had broken bread and eaten, and taken a long while, even till breaking the bread till day, so he departed, and they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. They rejoiced. You can't hardly get preachers today preach over 30 minutes. I've heard preachers say, well, if you preach over 30 minutes, you lose the congregation. Well, honey, if the Word of God is coming forth with the anointing, it shouldn't be that way. But when people have got so concerned about the things of the world in which they can't hear the truth of God's Word, which when I was a boy, we'd go to a tent meeting, go to Brush Arbor's. It'd have a revival and be on for weeks at a time. Every night, people would come and they would be there. They'd get up and go to work the next morning. Some of them plowed in the fields and they'd be there in church. They sought God. They was hungry for God. That was during the Depression. Out of the Depression went right into World War II. People were still hungry. They sought God. They prayed and they sought after Him. God bless this nation. But they've turned against God now to the place of where God's going to curse it one of these days because we have allowed them to kill our babies. We allowed them to stray after the strange flesh and these things. All these things in there come short of the glory of God. They're not preaching the truth of God's Word. They're seeking after monetary things, money, silver, and gold. They're not bringing forth the sick. They're not healing the sick and supplying the needs of them that are down and destitute. We're all out there after what we can get. Me first. Seeking after our own self-righteousness. My friend, when Paul was preaching there, he wasn't concerned about how long he'd preached. He preached there until sunrise. The man that fell asleep and fell out of the third loft, he was took up alive. Where's the power of the church today? It's gone along by the wayside. We come on Wednesday night for and everything, and for about an hour and a half, praying that God, the Spirit of God would move, bring forth, and deliver. But we don't give him time because he don't do it in our time. He's got his own way of doing things, but we don't give him a chance. Sunday morning, an hour, 2 hours at the most, sometime maybe 2 hours and a half. Close up the church on Sunday evening. They're all going that way. We've come to the time to where in that they're not preaching the same gospel that Paul preached. They're not preaching the same Christ that Paul preached. They're coming to preaching another way, which there is no other way. We've come to the time that where the church is lukewarm. Honey, and he said, we'll spew us out of his mouth. I'd rather be hot and cold, for if you look warm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. So what are we going to do? Are we going to get on fire for God? Or are we going to climb into the freezer and get froze? Be better off one way or the other than you would be lukewarm, saying, oh, I got it all down pat. I've got it all. I've got salvation. I've got this when you ain't got nothing. Got everything I need. And he said, you're poor and you're miserable. I challenge you to buy gold right in the fire. Little Season Church was prosperous, but it was run by the people of the man. Instead of letting God's will be done, man ruled in it. My friend, today, that's what the name stood for. Man rules. We've got it into this world today that man rules the whole thing. They left God out of the equation, and they put the man first, and whatever he says, you do. But my friend, today we need to get back to the place to where in that we can call on the name of the Lord and receive the authority that God gave us. Because in the church that he wrote to, in the first church that John wrote to, he said, you've left your first love. Some people said, you lost it. No, honey, you didn't lose it. Losing something is different from leaving. You go off and leave your wife sitting in a honky-tonk somewhere or another. You didn't lose her. You know where she's at. I just throwed that in there. But if you're going down the road and all of a sudden something happens that you don't know what happened, like death, you might could say you lost her in death. You might be able to say where our soul is spending eternity. I hope it would be in the presence of God. But my friend, the church world today has left its first love. I challenge you, return unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek after the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Allow God to control us instead of us trying to control him. Take him out of the trunk and use him for a spare, but let him sit under the driver's seat and let him take care of your soul. Let him bring forth as he wants to do. He wants to be in the front. He wants to be first in our life. If a man loves everything else first before God, then this stands between you and God. Anything there, then you've got it between you and God, then you love it more than you do God. God wants to be first in our lives. He wants to be first in everything we do. And he said that without him, we can do nothing anyway, but yet and still, some people think they've done it all. King stood up one day, and as he looked over Babylon, he said, see what I've done with all these things, my hands. See what I've created. He hadn't done anything, but he was cast out of his kingdom, and his feathers, the hair grew out like feathers, and his nails like eagle claws, and he come to, the dew of the morning fell upon him, he eat grass like an oxen, till he come to his right mind, and he blessed the God of heaven. And he came back into his kingdom. What are you doing today? Are you going to bless the God of creation, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you saying, oh, look what I've done? Some of these people have went around, they built big fine churches, and they've done this, and they said, see what we've done? One of these days it's liable to fall apart on him, and he will see what he done then. If you're not for God, then you're against him. If you're for him, then you're not against him. But God's going to be first, my friend. He's the one that created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. Paul came to know all this. He was taught. He didn't go up to find out what Peter and John and the rest of the apostles preached. He was there 3 years. And then when he went to him, he found out that they preached the same Jesus. The same Jesus that I'm preaching to you today, they preached back in those days. He hasn't changed. He's still alive and alive forevermore. The devil thought he had him dead. And he was probably having a party in hell. We've got him now. But when he stepped into the corridors of hell and reached in there and took the keys from death and hell from him, he found out that he didn't have him whipped after all. He's still alive and he's alive today. My friend, he wants to live in you. He wants to bring you to the place that we're in, that you will truly worship him in spirit and in truth. Walking in the faith and in the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowingly that he is ruler of all things. He has control of all things. So if you want to walk in the beauty of holiness, you got to get in tune with the one that created, that is holy, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to bring salvation to you. The world don't care. The world can't save you. But I'll tell you one thing, you follow into the ways of the world and you'll go down into destruction. For it's only one way we can make it into the kingdom of God. Paul left notice there that when he wrote to Timothy there in the 4th chapter, he said he wanted him to, he charged him, he said, therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, for reprove, rebuke, resort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come to when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall sheep themselves teachers, having of itching of the ears, and they shall turn away the ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not for me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence. Well, we won't go in. He has asked him to do his diligence. Come to him there. But my friend, today, to fight your fight, stand for the truth, whereby that when it comes your time to depart this life, however it may be, Paul went to, you might say, to Nero's chop block. But he was knowed that it was going to be. It was prophesied to him that if he went there, that he would be killed. But nevertheless, he was determined to go to Rome. And he preached to them there, at ungodly place and everything. He preached them Jesus. Stayed in his own house there. But they come to him and he preached to them. My friend, today, if you're ready, in the day and the hour and wherever that time may come, that you are ready to go, and because you know that your sins are beneath the blood and you're hid in that name of Jesus Christ, you're ready to go. And death has no sting. It has no fear. What good would it do to fear something that would be that you got to go through a door to enter into eternal life? Why fear the door? And that's death. We're all going to come to the place of death, for it's appointed unto man one time to die, and after that, the judgment. My friend, we're going to have to lay down this old flesh one way or the other. It's got to be laid down in order to inherit eternal life. Whether it be in that you chop your head off for the gospel of Jesus Christ or what. But nevertheless, we're going to lay down this life. And we just pray that God will richly help you, bless you, and keep you. and bring you to the knowledge of His truth, and that you would stand upon His word, receive Him as your personal Savior, looking unto Him to be the author and the finisher of your faith, denying not the faith that was once given unto us, that when the time come that Jude says, I encourage you, in other words, I beseech you, I implore ye to hold fast to the doctrine, in other words, unto the faith that was once delivered unto you on the day of Pentecost, the faith that which was delivered unto them as when the church was set in order that we know it today, when they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do that we might be saved? And Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Read it for yourself, Acts 2 and 38. Read it. It's a plan of salvation. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ, because He's the door. He is the way. He is the life. Trust in Him. You got something else you want to say? Here's my wife once again. Got something short there, but God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you, my friend.
This may sound a little strange, but there was a brother in the church this morning gave me a love letter, and I want to share it with you this afternoon. Says, how are you? I just had to send you this letter to tell you how much I love you and care about you. I saw you yesterday as you were walking with your friends. I waited all day, hoping you would walk and talk with me also. As evening drew near, I gave you a sunset to close your day and a cool breeze to rest you. Then I waited, but you never came. Oh, yes, it hurt me, but I still love you because I am your friend. I saw you fall asleep last night, and I longed to touch your brow, so I spilled moonlight upon your pillow and upon your face. Again, I waited, wanting to rush down so we could talk. I have so many gifts for you. You awakened late this morning and rushed off for the day. My tears were in the rain. Today you look so sad and so alone. It makes my heart ache because I understand. My friends let me down and hurt me many times, but I love you. I try to tell you in the quiet green grass. I whisper it in the leaves and trees and breathe it in the color of the flowers. I shout it to you in the mountain streams and give the birds love songs to sing. I clothe you with warm sunshine and perfume your hair and the air. My love for you is deeper than the oceans and bigger than the biggest want or need you could ever have. We will spend eternity together in heaven. I know how hard it is on earth. I really know, because I was there, and I want to help you. My Father wants to help you too. He's that way. You know, just call me, ask me, and talk to me. It is your decision. I have chosen you, and because of this, I will wait, because I love you, your friend always, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
We would like to invite you to come to our church, Christian Growth Fellowship, where Pastor Pennington brings the Word of God every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. The church is located at 149 April Lane in Tampa, Florida, 33613. If you don't have a church home, come join the family at ours. If Take Time for Jesus has been a blessing to you, email taketimeforjesus@wtis1110.com or write Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. God bless.
That taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood.
Bringing Inspiration Radio to Tampa Bay for over 35 years. This is AM 1110, WTIS, Tampa's Inspiration Station.